brilliant. Excellent. Thanks, Ethan. Ethan is stepping in today with a big help, so thank you so much. So, Thanksgiving. Seems kind of weird that we talk about Thanksgiving after that sermon, after that scripture. Did you all catch the scripture? What's happening in scripture? Yes, it's a quiz. Pardon? The little apocalypse. You were listening. What does it mean? It's why is it painful? See, this will teach you. You only come twice a year because you're stuck in Germany, right? So Nancy really laid it out nicely, but I want to go back a little bit further. So about 2,600 years ago, right, practically yesterday, the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem. And for the Jews of the time, it was devastating because that's where God lived, right? We've come a long way. We understand that God is not just central to one location at this point. But that's really important as we enter this story. Okay, so little Bible study just for fun, because I know that's what you look forward to, right? Thank you. So here we are 2,000 years later, and Jesus has been gone for 40 years, and as Nancy said, there is an attempt of a revolt against Rome, and Rome retaliates by destroying the temple. Now, most of us have grown up learning that Jesus is predicting this. But if this is written 40 years after Jesus, then it's already happened, right? So here we are with a community that's terrified because their temple is being destroyed again for the second time, okay? And for those who were hearing the Gospel of Mark, to them, it is initiating the little apocalypse, which is the beginning of end times, okay? Next year, I'm going to quiz you on that again. Okay. So there is an expectation then that the world is coming to an end. The temple has been destroyed. Rome is bearing down on the Jewish people. Jesus is nowhere to be seen after everybody expected him to show up for Thanksgiving. They're scared, because it seems like everything is coming to an end. Happy Thanksgiving. I had a conversation with a colleague this past week, and it was an interesting conversation because he was talking about his church, which is a very large church compared to this one. And they were in a bit of a crisis, and the reason why they were in a crisis is because years ago they had received an endowment. Do you know what an endowment is? It's lots of money that's given to the church. And the church was very excited because it seemed like, hey, we've got a little cushion now to play. So in addition to all our pledges, we also have this cushion. We can do great things. And that's a really good way to look at money that you get. How can we spend it to make our church even more outstanding in terms of the service that we're doing? So what they did was that they used the money to hire a few people, to get a couple of programs started, and things were going really well. Except the one thing that they didn't count on was that the endowment was going to go away after a few years. Because when you spend money and you don't replace it, guess what happens? It goes away. But they were so in the dark as a congregation and as leadership that they didn't pay attention to the fact that this money was going away. And his take on it was this. We come at this notion of when things are bad, we usually come up with this great catchphrase, right? This too shall pass. And he said what they didn't realize is that the good stuff passes too. And it was passing quickly, and they were about to enter a huge crisis. A crisis that would take them away from the good things that they were doing because everybody was worried, oh my God, the church is going to close. It's going to go away. The world is coming to an end as we know it. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything out there in our current I don't know, national environment or climate that would suggest anything like that. Why are you laughing? But there are some days where it feels like the world is going to come to an end. Yes? In fact, we are more apt to call it a big apocalypse rather than a little one. And it can be terrifying at times. One of the things that seems to terrify those of us who are church-going people is this notion, and I'm sure you've heard of it before, our churches are dying. How many have heard that? Oh, come on, hands up. How many have heard it? How many of you are afraid that that's going to happen? Okay, if you're not, then tell me why you're not, because I don't believe you. Why isn't your church going to die? Anna.
Well, we're all here now, aren't we?
Yeah, the disciples were there too when the temple was destroyed, Anna. Just saying. Why isn't the church going to die? What does that mean? It's not going to die.
We have trust that it is not going to die.
What's going to keep it from dying? How?
By staying here and working.
Sermon's over. Yes, Deborah.
I think it depends on how you define church.
Oh, we have a theologian in the group. I'll get back to you. Define church.
Well, if you define church as this building and only here, then yeah, this could die. But if you define church as when one or two and gathered in my name and doing things in my name, that's not going to die.
You sure? Because you have faith? Okay. You're with Roberta. Fingers.
Describe die.
Well, because we are working within the Christian tradition, death isn't a thing that's scary because out of death comes life. So even if this dies, something new will arise, and that's how the church has functioned for thousands of years.
We had a conversation where I was preaching today and you weren't. Do you remember that? Did you remember that? I didn't know if you remembered. Yes.
There may not be death, but there may be declination, declining.
Well, that's, some people are defining that as death.
No.
That the church is declining. Tell me the difference.
Declining is not dying.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Prove it.
Let me put it in my computer and we'll see.
You're going to crunch the numbers for me? Is that it? So what we have is we have an element of faith. We have this idea of how to define church. We have the idea of describing what death means, right? So shouldn't we be panicked just a little bit? You know, we're about to turn the corner and enter 2019, and 2019 for Vista Grande is really big because we don't know where we're going to be this time next year, right? Building-wise. According to Deborah, building-wise, and according to Roberta, building-wise, and Mel, and Anna, and what's your name again? But it sounds like we might know where we're going to be church-wise. I don't think the church is dying either. And I think that it is one of those fear-based things on how we define church and how we define who it is and to whom we belong and why it is we are here in this world. November is my favorite time of year, okay? It's the leaves are down. They're gone, okay? They're dead. They're flying around. The colors are gone. There's nothing here except cold, ice, little bit of a hiatus with Thanksgiving to remind us, but think about where Thanksgiving is falling. It is falling at the end of a harvest. Those plants have to die in order for us to be fed. The animals that give their lives so that we can be fed. Something dies so that we can continue. Our Christian tradition is such that something dies before it comes back to life. This notion of death shouldn't frighten us unless we define it as the end. So many times during this time of year, churches are asking folks to pledge for the next year, right? Money. And nobody wants to talk about money in church, except Claire. I don't mind it. Because part of what keeps us alive is our ability to use our resources well so that we can redefine what church looks like, so that we're not bound by the confines of the bills that it costs to keep this building going, right? But rather we are defined by how we are in the world and where we're going and who it is that we belong to and the work that we are called to do. You see the theme? When we are asked to pledge, and whether we are pledging from our stores, we are pledging from a place of abundance rather than scarcity, it doesn't mean we've got millions of dollars in the bank or tons of time to give. What it means is that we are recognizing that we have an incredible, incredible amount of faith and incredible amount of power in how it is that we can see what the next phase of this church is going to look like. Giving isn't about doing so out of guilt or obligation. Giving is about giving from the place of thanksgiving, from recognizing that who we are as a community is a very, very powerful, very loving, very compassionate, very God-infused group of human beings who can do great things. So giving of time and talents and money is about giving from a place of gratitude. It is a spiritual practice. It is about saying, with great joy, I want to see what happens next. I want to see what happens when the night has become brighter and we move into spring and we start to look for the leaves again budding on the trees, because great things can happen. We can get caught up with the notion that the stones will be gone and the temple will be destroyed, and because of that, we should be afraid because nothing better is coming. But as long as, Anna said, as long as we continue to gather here, then great things will continue to come. Now, how many of you think that the church is dying? How many of you are excited about what could happen next? How many of you want to be part of what can happen next? And it's because of that that we don't need to fear anything else that's going on out there. Because 2,000 years ago, somebody wrote something similar to those who were following Jesus, following the way, reminding them that this is not the end. It is the beginning. It is the birthing of something greater than what we've ever seen before. And we're still here all that time later. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt, we will be here, however we define here, this time next year. Let the people say, amen.